On this episode of The Playbook, I have Jeff Jones, president and CEO of H&R Block, and we're going to talk about curiosity does not kill the cat and how to keep your work-life balance. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I am so excited about a very non-exciting industry. That's right, one that we hate. The taxes. Here we go. Jeff Jones, he is the president and CEO of the most famous tax company in America, H&R Block. Welcome to the Playbook, yeah. Jeff.
Thank you very much. I hope to convince you how exciting this business is.
People have tried for years. And the irony is I'm like the kind of kid that got a perfect score on my SAT in math. I actually really love numbers. I equate it to the universe. I always say, if you take care of your pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. But right. Don't trip over your pennies to get to the dollars. But numbers really intrigue me. You have this sports enthusiast background. I can see the basketballs behind you. How does someone kind of move through, you went to University of Dayton, into that career as far as H&R Block goes?
Yeah, it's crazy. When I first got called about coming here, I said to the recruiter, I have a really common name. Are you sure you called the right Jeff Jones? And I mean, I'm lucky to have a really eclectic career, great brands. I've been part of starting and selling a couple early stage businesses, and I have no financial services background. But I think what attracted me to Block and what attracted them to me was a deep understanding of retail, a marketing bent, so a very customer-focused and innovation-focused approach, and have really distinguished my career more recently probably in the digital world. And really all those things add up to why I'm here and what we're up to.
It's so funny. It's when we get to closer, we're close in age, at least, I think a year apart, when you just look younger. We connect the dots backwards. And, with that eclectic background, it seems like individuals, leaders like yourself, have really more focused in on skills, knowledge, and a desire. And then we kind of accumulate the skills, accumulate this knowledge, but increase our desire, which that sports background helps. And we end up in like a place where if somebody asked us, 20 years earlier when we were in college or graduate school or wherever we are, do you think you'd ever do this? You would look at them like, there's no way on God's green earth that I'd end up. And the same thing happened with me from, law school to technology to the CEO of a smartphone to Lee Steinberg to, writing books in like a media side. I don't know how we got there, but our backgrounds are very familiar. What is it that allowed you to keep your options open? Because one of the biggest deterrents that I see of people is they get caught up into what other people want. My mom used to say doctor, lawyer, or failure, and they get caught up into that. And then they never get to really flourish with what their true skills. And it's not like I had a passion, and I'm sure you wouldn't tell me that you had a passion for H&R Block 20 years ago.
Exactly right.
Right. So can you help people understand how you keep those options open without getting frustrated and you're all over the place?
Yeah. My parents were mom and pop entrepreneurs. And so I was raised in an environment where it was about curiosity, learning, hard work, problem solving. And that really has been the keys for me. I mean, I think you maintain your relevance by being a student. And constantly just this insatiable desire to understand, why do things happen the way they do? Why do people behave the way they do? And being unafraid of hard problems. I think, in today's world, like the problems are less and less clear, which means you need to be able to draw on a lot of different sets of experiences to solve them. And those have really been the things that I think have helped me along the way and things I try hard to protect now at this stage of my career.
I love, Jeff, that you use the word student, because I had such a resistance to it. My mom was a hyper academic. My siblings all went to the Ivy League, summa cum laude. I told you earlier, she truly believed the fetus wasn't fully developed till after graduate school. And so like when someone would say student, I would say, well, I got street smarts. And, you know, although comparatively in my family, I wasn't a good student. I got one B in high school, you know, ended up playing football in college, going to Tulane for graduate school. Most people are like, oh, you're a pretty good student. My family, like literally they thought I was drooling in class, right? Like, you know, no concept. But one thing that you said, student to me and means what you pay attention to and give intention to will create the coincidences, like being CEO and president of H&R Block or CEO of the most notable sports agency or phone company, all these cool things that we get to do. And that word student, I always thank my mom, thank you for teaching me to be a student. And it had nothing to do with actually what I was doing in school. It had to do with the fact that that a combination of I'm paying attention, which is one feat, but giving it intention was the true remarkable catalyst. What was it that allowed you, you know, you obviously pay attention, but you've learned a lot about what you intend to do. You know, what are some of those skills or advice that you could give about putting your intention into what you pay attention to?
Yeah, no, it's well said. I mean, just a little quick context. So I grew up in that environment. I was a horrible student in high school. I mean, to the point where as a senior in high school, I hadn't taken a standardized test. I did not know what I was going to do the next year. I played football and baseball, but I was a better than average baseball player. And I had a coach say to me, you need to go to Fork Union Military Academy. So I went there after high school as a PG to play baseball. I was a catcher. And I basically learned as a catcher, you are a student. You're in control of the game. You're seeing everything. And that kind of metaphor for business has really stuck with me. I learned I wasn't good enough to play at the next level. I was a good batter, slow as a turtle, average arm. And so I went to Dayton, but that 1 year changed my life. It was absolutely one of the most important kind of moments literally in the last 52 years. And I think it gave me the intentionality of, you know, love what you do, pursue it, be open and learn all the time. And I think they built on at Fork Union what my parents taught me as a baseline. And now in business, you know, you get to the point where you know what you're good at, you know what you need help with, you have extra confidence in who you are as a person. And all of that together is what now gives me intentionality. And I tell people all the time, I think you become a better leader of others when you intimately know yourself. And you're always learning new things about yourself, but I'm just at a point now where I'm confident in who I am and I want to be the full me in everything I do.
Well, you and I also share, you know, you have two daughters, I have three. One of our daughters each are going to go, you know, to the same school in Indiana. I love asking, especially fathers of daughters, you know, we're so, you know, let's just put it, we're in persuasive and empowering. Our life's mission is to elevate others. And yet they're, you know, having teenage daughters, to me, is the greatest expansive challenge that has helped me more in business than anything else. Because if I can share a vision with a 21-year-old or a 19-year-old or a 16-year-old, especially a girl, when you're, you know, a boy who grew up with five boys and one girl in his family.
Right.
What techniques, and I know this can apply to entrepreneurship, so please be patient, my listeners out there, because I want to know from a dad who runs one of the best companies in America, you know, we go home and humility is spanked upon us. What skills can you cross over from what you're using day to day to lead and elevate others to motivate, inspire, and elevate our teenage daughters?
Yeah, man, oh man. Oh, I could use some advice here.
Golden question.
You're right, exactly. It's really funny, you know, and I will admit to you, for those that are listening that are in this situation, you know, I prioritized my career so much in their early years. I missed a lot. And I then got to the point where I realized I couldn't make up for that, but I could change the future. And that was a moment several years ago where I just committed to playing this role in a way that I had not been playing it. And what I've learned about them is, damn, they're smart. They see the world in ways that I don't see. And so I try to teach by letting them teach me. And that turns into a conversation where I'm listening as much as I'm telling. And that allows some barriers to be broken, some connections to be made, you know, and then I'm dorky dad and I've got my, you know, the three R's, reputation, relationships, and resilience. That's the key to life. But I think, you know, when I get in that zone with them, they go like this.
Yeah.
And so I think I have to just ask more than just preach. And when I see those windows, just help them see what's coming. But it's all that. And while we didn't really go there, I mean, COVID has been a silver lining in that respect.
Yeah.
You know, we have been together at home, really together, the most maybe in their lives. And family dinners all the time, deep conversations, really powerful and important arguments about stuff. And this will be a moment that I'll never forget because of what we've been able to do together.
Yeah, amen. It's so interesting because I call it planning would have gained in the last 13 weeks because the family dinners, I wouldn't trade for anything. In fact, I so much value. I've traveled less since I'm literally 24 years old till 52, like right now.
That's right.
And I've never had so many dinners with them and enjoy. I told someone the other day, because I'm blessed in my profession to go to the Super Bowl, the Pro Bowl, the Masters, Kentucky Derby, Breeders' Cup, ESPYs, yeah. Everything, right?
Yeah,
and someone said, David, if someone would tell you that you had a choice between having a family dinner or going to the Masters for the 23rd straight years, you know, what would you do? And for the first time in my life, I would stay at home. If my whole family was there, that's how valuable, how much fun, how much I've learned. I've also listening to you, you know, you have your sayings like I have, show me your friends, I'll show you your future, be kind to your future self, do good deeds. You know, I got the Dave Melcherism. So I'm probably worse than you because I do it for a profession, right? And the one that goes to Indiana did the Keeping Up with the Melchers video to make fun of me in the closet. And like, you know, they're all doing my favorite sayings and making fun of me on Instagram. But the one thing I realized.
But that's how you know you've connected, by the way.
Right, which is cool. And the other way I know I connected, which I want to know, because I feel this way about my employees, and it's that I've changed my perspective because of my children, that I'm planting seeds under trees that I may never sit under. Meaning,
absolutely.
I hear my girls, and we were driving the other day, and they started saying stuff, and it was stuff that I think I teach. You know, I'm sure other people teach it too, but I was like, hey, where'd you get that from? And literally got no credit at all, right? No credit at all. It was like,
but you know for yourself.
I'm hoping that I at least planted a seed. And I think the one valuable lesson, and this is where your digital background, your retail background, my brand building of personalities and company brands, are the things that I'm doing today, being able to transfer all that traditional knowledge that I have in marketing and branding over to a digital, is the idea of consistency with quality content. Like the word consistency has become so big to me because we are under some fallacy that everybody's listening and gives a shit about what we're saying and they're going to pick it up the first time. Not a chance.
No chance.
Yeah. And, you know, to that respect, you know, people probably don't even, when I said H&R Block and the tax thing, they probably didn't think about it as retail. Right. Yeah. It is just a different, like when I say McDonald's, they know it's fast food. If I say Target, they know it's retail. But when I said H&R Block, they probably were thinking professional services and don't realize it's a retail. So you're facing some serious challenges as a retail, but you also have the advantage of being a professional services that is acclimated to the digital side much easier. And there is always a necessity for it.
That's right.
Where do the challenges lie with such a compressed time of uncertainty and quick accelerated change for your business and mine? I just said, all we did was compress what was going to happen probably the next decade into about 12 weeks. And so, but where were those challenges for H&R Block?
Yeah. So it's an important part of why I came here, which was all about transformation. I mean, it's an incredible company, very well known, highly trusted. It's a tax company. But as I described it, we were suffering from what I call a crisis of relevance, which basically meant everyone knew us, but no one knew why we were for them. A lot of that had to do with the digital nature of our business. But we are a retailer. I mean, we operate 10,000 US locations. So it's a massive physical footprint. We're literally in every congressional district in America. We're about one third franchise, two thirds company. We have about 80,000 tax professionals that work in that network. So it's a very large retail footprint. And it is a professional service. People rely on us every single year to get something that they desperately need, which is the refund. And in America today, unfortunately, you know the stat, 40% of America can't handle a $400 surprise. And so they look to Block to help them gain financial confidence for the year. Right now, it's this weird kind of tension because on one hand, the pandemic is causing retailers to have to shut down. People are being told to stay at home or they're forced to stay at home. On the other hand, people need their money. And while we do have a thriving digital business, for the most part, that has been do-it-yourself software. And do-it-yourself software means do taxes yourself. And not everybody's comfortable doing that. So we've had to accelerate our digital capabilities in a lot of different ways. I mean, today, you can engage with a tax professional without ever going to a physical office. We are helping our tax professionals do their job from home so they don't have to go to an office. But that power of the human connection and relying on a human expert to help you really isn't replaced by AI or machine learning, even though those things are present in our business. So every day is different, every city is different, and we're flexing that retail muscle to be able to operate inside those local orders.
Yeah, dude, it's so important. You know, there's so many brands, and one of the things being a marketing person, and I'm calling myself a frequency person now because of the digital side. You know, I look for the frequencies, and you know, there's several big brands that the brand itself, if people know how to utilize it, is worth so much more than when it sat on a storefront.
Right.
The domain itself. So some domains are worth so much more. You know, take like Success Magazine, right? They have success.com. I promise you success.com, the actual domain's worth more than the whole company right now for a Success Magazine.
Right.
That's their whole asset. And, you know, here you have human capital, emotional attachment, and emotional stability with what you've been able to do for decades and decades. And you have that killer brand. You know, you're actually fit to, I think, accelerate and grow because of the compressed uncertainty. Where do you see, this is the last question, for retailers. Now, you're in a unique position. Where do you see the future of these storefronts? Because so many, companies like yours, I see at least in the future, there's really no reason ever to have a storefront. If you look a decade out or whatever, you know, there is literally no reason that you and I just can't do our taxes together right here and have them filed electronically and the same exact interaction, except I don't have to go to your office and sit down in the office. Where do you see the future of these storefronts?
Yeah, I think retail storefronts, it really depends on the industry. If I first draw on my Target experience, I mean, they announced several years ago they were investing billions of dollars back in the retail footprint. And everyone thought Brian Cornell was crazy, and their results are staggering. Walmart, the same thing. I mean, these physical dominant businesses are reinventing the physical location. So their distribution centers, their pickup locations, their better shopping experiences, I don't see that going away at all in that part of retail. In our retail footprint, you know, because we operate in so many rural communities in addition to big cities, I also don't see the physical locations completely going away. I think there are still a lot of people that on the topic of financial security, they value the confidentiality, the perceived better confidentiality of sitting with a person face to face. But make no mistake, it is a better experience for them and the tax professional if a lot of it happens digitally. So just think about this. We all have a stack of stuff, paper, that you have to have for your taxes. Most of that world is not digitally enabled yet. There's no APIs to go get those documents. So you've got to sit down, you got to photograph all of them, you got to upload them digitally. But when that happens and then you go for your meeting with your expert, I want that person providing you wisdom and advice about how to get a better outcome. I don't want them sitting at the keyboard data entering all the documents you brought in. So then the interaction becomes a lot more valuable. And today, the interaction's mainly waiting for the tax pro to do the work. And, you know, no one wants to wait an hour anymore. So that's why we're pushing the digital capabilities, not to replace the human, but to make the human interaction more valuable.
That's awesome. And that's exactly what we've done even during this time of COVID, is we've made our human interaction so much more valuable, which I love.
Yeah.
And also prioritizing them. It's, you know, it's we make up, I tell my wife, I said, you know, I teach people you don't know what you don't know, and how we're all hypocrites. And that's why I take inventory of my values every day. And yet, being a student, being a teacher, being an expert, supposedly, I still find myself sitting in this closet going, man, I have wasted so much of my life in places I shouldn't have. Right. The lessons, you know, the lessons of, I always made the excuse, oh, I can handle 200 days of travel and my kids are fine. And meanwhile, you know, I have a 10-year-old son and I am absolutely flabbergasted that, you know, I spent so much time on an airplane last year and I valued, you know, a few extra dollars and a few ego driven speeches where everyone says how great I am, or book signings. And I'd much rather, you know, just sit down and have a conversation, read a book, or, you know, even play a little bit of Madden with him and watch him grow up. And I'm blessed because, you know, the three older ones, you realize, you know, if it wasn't for COVID, I would not see my girls.
That's exactly right.
I give them 2 minutes a day. That's usually by a FaceTime, but I do not normally see my kids. And I'm a good dad, or I try to be, but that's just their choice, which I don't blame them. But anyway, I certainly appreciate you allowing me to blend entrepreneurship, executive decision-making, and perspective with, of course, our human and family life. And I'll look forward to seeing you in Indiana. I'm sure we'll get together on Parents Weekend.
I would love to do that. Absolutely. Great to see you.
Great to see you. This is Dave Meltzer with Jeff Jones, Entrepreneur, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.